Do you see some parallels between then and now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the device of the show, is to be able to look at the past and say that some of these things are still relevant. Some of the criticism for Hamilton is that it glorifies some of the worst parts of the lives of our founding fathers. And I would actually say it zooms in and puts a critical lens on those things. What we're watching in the show is the ruling class and their lives and their personal lives and in their personal relationships with each other being intertwined into their politics. And if anyone doesn't know what that looks like, we can just go back. We can go to now, and the relationships that Democrats have with Republicans is extremely volatile. And watching the effects of how that changed their lives, you know, in the founding of our country, and how that continued to change the lives and shape the lives of Americans today, is kind of the point of the show. It's the device of the show.
What do you think Hamilton's legacy in the musical theater world is going to be, and also in American politics? Because the play has brought this critical lens to American history to a brand new audience.
Yeah, I think the legacy going forward, it seems to be shifting and changing throughout the history of the show. When the show first opened, it had more of a celebratory feel because it was a show that was kind of backed by President Barack Obama, and there was a different nature of the show. And then once President Donald Trump was elected, the nature of the show became very different. You know, certain lines meant a little bit more. I mean, we say quid pro quo, and that was one of the button words for 2019. And every time we would say it, you know, people would kind of chuckle in the audience, you know, throughout the time that I was in the show. And I think the legacy going forward, or I hope that the legacy going forward is going to be more in line with the true nature of the show, which is that critical lens, which is to make people really question the things that they're told, the narrative and the history, both the narrative and the narrator, because the point of the show is that Aaron Burr is the narrator. He gets a chance to tell the story a little bit from his perspective. And so, you know, even though he's villainized throughout our history, at the end of the show, you can see that there's two sides to the story, and you know, neither of them are right, but both of them are true. And I think that's one of the most important lessons that I've learned is whenever someone criticizes me, I need to ask myself, is it true and are they right? And then also, is it good for me? And that's the thing that I think we don't do often enough. When we criticize, we just say, this is what I see, this is right and this is true. But then, is it good for me? Is the question. Is it good for America? So I hope that people watch the show and continue to grapple with the idea of what's actually good for America and what's good for American politics.
How do you feel about the role that you play, about Aaron Burr?
I love it. He's so bougie. I really just enjoy, I enjoy his stoicism. I enjoy his reserve. I enjoy playing the hesitance and his ability to observe what's going on around him and kind of internalize. And I love the way that it explodes in Act Two. I think a lot of people will be able to empathize with Aaron Burr. If they couldn't before, they will be able to now after last year. I mean, just the way that his character is portrayed in the show is he's very isolated and separated. And I think we all experienced that a little bit this past year, being quarantined and not being able to be with our loved ones. And, you know, we talk about what we lost last year. We lost intimacy. We did a lot of communicating over Twitter and Instagram and DMs and texts and phone calls and FaceTime. I mean, we're digitally doing something that we in prior years would have done in person. And I think this is an opportunity for people to really understand what that isolation is. And I think the mental health aspect of this character is what people will recognize a little bit more. And that's another thing about the show that'll change is there's a lot of mental health commentary that is kind of the subtext and the sub conversation of the show.
Do you think that that will help normalize conversations about mental health?
Absolutely. I mean, we continue to talk about politics and our ruling class and the governing body of our country. We idolize and iconize these people, and they're just people. And people need to all be held accountable for their actions and all be treated as such. They're just people, you know, president or not. I'm just excited to bring the show to Jacksonville. I'm excited for the world to see the show again after seeing it on Disney Plus, and to reinvigorate the legacy of Hamilton again in America. And I hope that the year that we've gotten off brings some appreciation to the art form, to musical theater, some more appreciation to it. It's one of our oldest practices, but it's still growing, you know. And I think the beauty of musical theater is in its potential, and I think Hamilton is an exemplar of the possibilities of the show. So I hope that people continue to engage with us, and you know, I'll see y'all in Jacksonville.
You mentioned the TV show. Do you think you can try to put into words the difference between watching something like that on television and watching it live in the theater?
Yeah. The beauty of the Disney Plus presentation is that was one night and one performance. It was recorded over, if I'm not mistaken, three different shows or four different shows. But that was one effort, you know. There's been thousands and thousands and thousands of shows of Hamilton, and none of them are the same. You can come to our show on Tuesday and see the show, and then by Sunday it'll have a completely different feel. The beauty of live theater is that it's in the moment. And so you can feel it. If you rewatch the Disney Plus, it's not the same the first time as it is the second time and the third time. Your energy might go down. Your response to it might go down a little bit, but when you come to live theater, your response to live theater is always going to be at the height of where the show is that night. You can't duplicate live energy and intimacy. And it's like, if I could analogize it, it's like being on FaceTime versus a real hug. And theater is a real hug. You can't get around that.